It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for joining us this morning. It's Monday, which means it's time for the State Capitol Report. Coming up later in the hour, we'll talk to Secretary Mary Kolar of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. First, we're joined by Republican State Senator John Jagler. He was elected to the state's 13th Senate District in a special election this April. That district includes Watertown, Juneau, and Lake Mills. Jagler previously represented the 37th Assembly District for five terms. And we want to hear from you. What questions do you have for Senator John Jagler? Do you live in the Juneau, Lake Mills, or Watertown area? What are the issues you and your neighbors are facing that the state legislature could address? Call in now at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Senator Jagler, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So you have been in this position since about April. That's when you won the seat. What are some of your legislative priorities as a state senator?
Well, the priorities haven't changed. I mean, we've been looking at many things on how to improve the business climate in Wisconsin, how to get the schools back open, how to make sure they're back open safely. Education has always been a top priority of mine. Improving education. In fact, it's been a bone of frustration, actually, for the last several terms as we continue to put more money in education and are not seeing the returns that we would like. But the priorities really have not changed as I jumped from Assembly to Senate. It's just the situation's a little bit different. it's a totally different body that has you know, many different aspects of it that are the same, but yet different.
Well, let's stick with education for a second. You're a part of the Senate Committee on Education. Let's dive into that. What are some education-related bills or topics that you want the committee to weigh in on?
Well, it's one of the things that right now, as I said, you know, it's been every time I've run for re-election, it's come down to the opponent will say, you guys have cut education, you've cut public education, you've done this, you've done that. And it's just simply not true. I mean, every budget I voted for, we increase funding for education, except for perhaps this last time when you not account for the federal dollars. But what the frustrating part is, you know, a lot of the things that one of the reasons why I ran to improve education in Wisconsin, a lot of the problems are still there. The achievement gap is still high in Madison, the highest in the nation between African-American students and white students. That still exists. The problems with MPS in Milwaukee still exist. We're putting more dollars in. We're not seeing more dollars get to the classroom, and we're not seeing an improvement in reading scores. So it's very frustrating. So some of the things that I think we need to look at are perhaps too dramatic, maybe for this governor to pass. But there's things that should be put on the table, including just completely blowing up the school funding formula and taking a look at how this is done to make sure more money gets, again, put to the classrooms to improving kids' education. Even so much as the idea of education savings accounts. I would love to see some exploration of that, of empowering the parents, of empowering families, rather than empowering the education bureaucracy right now.
Last week, Governor Evers did call on the state legislature into a special session to talk about increasing education spending in the state. What is your reaction to the call for that special session?
It was all political games. It was all political folly. He knows that we, you know, there's going to be plenty of money for education in the upcoming budget, whether it's from the state dollars, but more specifically from the federal dollars that have come in. There will be more money per pupil than these administrators have had in perhaps the last decade, when you're looking at the availability of per pupil spending. And if you talk to the superintendents privately, they know that, they recognize that the federal dollars are there. The fact that we need to be throwing more money at it without any real changes or any real transformative things in education is just wrong. And there's, like I said, if the superintendents that I've spoken to in my district, you know, they're always going to ask for more money publicly, but if you talk to them privately, they know that, they were pleased with the increase of funding that we provided for special education funding. They were pleased with the maintenance of effort when it came to high-cost education needs that we put in, high-cost transportation that we put into the budget this last go-around. So it was nothing more than political theater on the governor's part.
We're talking to Wisconsin Senator John Jagler right now. He won a special election last April to represent State Senate District 13. That includes Watertown, Juneau, and Lake Mills. It is the seat previously held by now Congressman Scott Fitzgerald. And you can join the conversation right now at 800-642-1234. Senator Jagler, you're also the chair of the Senate Committee on Housing, Commerce, and Trade. What kind of legislation do you hope to see come through that committee?
Well, one of the things that we've been looking at the last several sessions is a fix to affordable housing. It's a problem that's nationwide. We have a shortage of affordable housing, a worker shortage, coming right down to worker housing in Wisconsin. So we've had several informational hearings about this. We've had the UW greatly involved in presentations that they've given as they've done studies at the behest of the Wisconsin Realtor Association. But we need to be looking at things that we can do individually in individual communities on improving affordable housing and looking at why perhaps some of the developers aren't building affordable housing in our cities, what some of the zoning issues that we have, some of the local fees that we have that are in place that are leading to this. So those are the kind of issues that we're looking at. But right now, just about every issue that comes, whether it's from I'm on many committees, whether it's the housing, whether it's commerce, whether it's anything, it all comes back to the lack of a worker shortage right now. And you just drive up and down your main street, everybody is hiring. People cannot find qualified workers. We've talked to several employers in my district right now. This is to show you how bad it is. They right now are giving their employees either Amazon gift cards or a $50 bonus just for coming to work on time and not leaving early for the 5 days. On Friday, they get a bonus for doing what they're supposed to be doing. Employers are frustrated. The extra $300 that is coming from the unemployment is going to end. That will help, but that's certainly not the magic answer. I mean, I was very frustrated that the governor vetoed the elimination of the extra $300 in unemployment benefits. But I will surely admit that even when they go away, that's not the magic cure. But to say that it didn't exacerbate the problem is pure folly. I mean, if you talk to any employer, they will tell you they've tried to call back their workers, and their workers are getting paid to stay home. How can you compete with that? So that was very frustrating that we went through that process, and again went through the process of a veto override in the Assembly. And that obviously is not the House I'm in anymore, but last week, we tried to put the pressure on again. They're clearly not listening to employers when it comes to this. The governor said when he vetoed that he didn't see any evidence that eliminating the $300 in expanded unemployment benefits would help. Well, all you needed to do was look at the states that ended it early. They had an improvement greatly in their jobless picture. That was the evidence that we thought he was looking for, but even with that, he vetoed it. So it was very frustrating. And again, this isn't the magic answer, but it's common problems that all the states are facing: lack of affordable housing, lack of worker shortage, that we need to get together and do some bipartisan help on.
And Senator Jagler, I want to pick up on that thread in just a minute. We are talking to Senator John Jagler right now. He is a Republican representing the 13th State District, which includes Watertown. And we are going to continue this conversation in a moment and take your calls at 800-642-1234. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's the State Capitol Report, and we're joined by State Senator John Jagler. He's a Republican representing Wisconsin's 13th State Senate District, which includes Juneau. And what questions do you have about the state budget? Where do you think state money should be going? Call in now at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Now, Senator Jagler, before we went to the break, we were talking about those enhanced unemployment benefits that many in the state were receiving at the height of the pandemic. And you had mentioned that Governor Evers had vetoed a bill that would have put an end to that. And one thing that we keep seeing is this disconnect between employers and employees. People have criticized some workers for staying at home. Other people have criticized employers for not paying enough. Do you think that there is a right answer in between there?
Well, I think the market's playing itself out. I mean, we've had all this talk about how the minimum wage is too low. Well, that may be, but no one is paying minimum wage right now. Nobody. If you're paying minimum wage, you don't have workers. So the market is playing it out and fluctuating. And employers have to recognize, and they are, and for the most part, that in this labor shortage, they need to keep their good people. They need to let their employees know that they're valued, and perhaps, you know, bend to treat them in a way that maybe they didn't have to in previous times. So I think the market is playing itself out. You're seeing raises across the board when it comes to this because of a necessity. Employers have to, but it's still not enough. You know, and that goes into another whole issue that if you want to talk about that affects the housing committee I serve on, which is a lack of skilled workers. You know, we've done many bills trying to get people to realize that they need to focus on STEM education, that the path for success for young people isn't necessarily a four-year degree. And we've had some enhanced programs. We've beefed up funding for our technical colleges, but there's still a lack of skilled workers that's really going to plague this country going forward. And it's only going to get worse when it comes to a lack of plumbers, electricians, HVAC, everything, engineers going forward. And we've made some progress here. I mean, we've got the kids there. You know, if you go to and look at the STEM programs in the high schools, the kids are there. They get it. The counselors have come around. They get it. The teachers have started to get it, that not every kid is destined to go to a four-year school as a path to success. But we're still having a problem connecting with a lot of the parents. A lot of the parents are like, yep, that's fine for Johnny down the street, but not my Johnny here. He's going to go to a four-year college. And it's frustrating for employers because they know that they have a decent wage to provide, a decent career to provide for some people, but there's still a shortage, there's still a blockage for some reason of breaking through and getting more people to go into the trades on a young level. And it's something that we're going to have to really, really focus again on as we move forward in the next coming session.
Senator Jagler, let's stick with housing costs, maybe the flip side of the coin. I want to go to Mark in West Bend. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess my question is, what can be done about housing prices? It feels like, you know, in my local area, all the complexes that are going up, you know, they want $1,400 a month in rent for a studio apartment just because they have white trim and a washer and dryer in the unit. And that's not even looking at, you know, a starter home. You know, you start to look at, oh, wow, I'm spending over $1,000 a month on an apartment. Maybe I'll look at a house. And, you know, suddenly that, you know, $50,000-$60,000 a year job you have, that doesn't cover the cost of a starter home when they start at $200,000 to $250,000.
Mark, thank you so much for that call. Senator Jagler, affordable housing in Wisconsin, you talked a little bit about a lack of workers, but what about just the actual cost of housing in Wisconsin?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is a problem. I mean, did you talk to any person right now? I'm going through this in my own family. My oldest child is looking at buying a house right now, and it's extremely difficult. It's extremely daunting with the prices through the roof. but the lack of affordable housing is a big problem. And again, this comes back to a lot of the zoning issues that are done on the local level. But you have a combination of things happening with COVID exploding the prices of building materials. Unfortunately, I don't see this problem going away anytime soon. The housing market is holding steady. I'm also a licensed realtor, so I see it on that end. The lack of homes in the, you know, we had a big inventory issue on houses in the, around the $200,000 to $250,000, $300,000 level. Well, suddenly now those houses are the ones that were $150,000, and so you have a big drop in availability for the low income housing, and people are stuck, and the communities need to figure out ways to do this, whether it's improve workforce housing with teaming up with their employers, figuring out a way. But you know, I'll give a perfect example. This is just a small example in one municipality I represent. You had a community leader go to the White House on a conference on affordable housing, come back to Wisconsin, talk about opening up a new park that was in the community, and said, well, the best part about it is this park's being built without any taxpayer money. It's being built with the park fee, so taxpayers won't have to build this park. Well, who pays those park fees? Builders, developers, anybody looking to build a home or open up a new building in their company or anything is paying those park fees. So there's just a disconnect there on some of these issues that the local municipalities have to realize, and also some of their zoning issues. You know, well, the home has to be this far set back. This has to be, you know, X amount of feet for a single family home or a multifamily home. You need to look at ways to encouraging developers to be able to build some affordable housing. So it is a problem, and it's not going away, unfortunately, anytime soon as the market just continues to get tight in the real estate market.
We're talking to Wisconsin State Senator John Jagler right now. He represents State Senate District 13. I want to look at another bill that you introduced that was vetoed by Governor Evers. It was about the WIAA, which would have granted waivers to students who changed schools due to COVID. What is your reaction to him vetoing that bill?
Extremely frustrated. And this comes again to a lot of people, a lot of organizations not putting kids first when it comes to the COVID situation. The story involves a young man from Oconomowoc. He was in school. Oconomowoc started out open. They went to a blended model. Then they went to wide open because cases were down last fall. Then cases increased, so they went to complete virtual education. This young man did not do well in that environment. He had some mental health issues. His grades were slipping. It had exacerbated the mental health issues. This kid was struggling in this virtual environment. And what he did was transferred. His parents transferred him to a local Lutheran school. He thrived there. He was doing really well. His grades improved, back up on the honor roll. And he found out this summer that he's not going to be able to play football for that new school that he's at. And the WIAA said no, because they have this transfer rule. They have to sit out for 1 year because they're trying to prevent super teams. But we appealed to them. We didn't want to go the legislation route, but we appealed to them and said, look, you know, these are times that we've never seen before. You've got to make some changes here to your waiver eligibility requirements. Let this kid play football. He's thriving where he's at. He's not trying to join a super team. The WIAA resisted. We went the path of trying to force their hand with the bill, and the governor vetoed it. And it's very, very disappointing, because you're going to have a lot of kids who probably don't even realize it yet that they're not going to be able to play football or play basketball this winter because of this transfer rule, when they were just trying to improve their education, get to environment, to get to a teacher that fitted them. The WIAA went backwards and said, well, the kid could play if he goes back to Oconomowoc. So they changed their rules for that circumstance, but they wouldn't change it for a kid who wanted to stay where he's at. And it's very, very frustrating. And you know what? As we approach the fall, this is going to affect a lot of kids, because parents are getting more involved than ever right now. And when it comes to mask mandates and things like that, of things that might be coming, there are going to be a lot of kids who are going to be transferring that are doing it for academic reasons to try to get in an environment for their kids, that they're going to be blocked from playing sports because simply this rule exists. So I was disappointed in the IIAA for this. I was disappointed in the governor for the veto. And you know what? This also affected someone we found out on the other end, whose school was virtual, or school was open, rather, and the parents didn't feel comfortable sending their kids to an open environment, so transferred the kids to a school that was virtual, and they got denied. So, I mean, it's again, too many people, too many organizations, you know, not looking at what really is best for the kids in this whole COVID environment.
Senator Jagler, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to do it. Thank you so much.
John Jagler is a Republican representing Wisconsin's 13th Senate District. That includes Watertown, Juneau, and Lake Mills. He was elected to that seat in a special election in April. Up next is news from NPR and WPR. Then State Capitol Report continues with the Secretary of the State's Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. Right now, we continue the State Capitol Report. We're switching gears to talk about veterans, from new initiatives to help working veterans, the state of Wisconsin's Veterans Museum, and more. Our guest is Mary Kolar, Secretary of the State Department of Veterans Affairs. As Secretary, she leads the agency that serves Wisconsin's 345,000 veterans and their families. She completed nearly three decades of service with the U.S. Navy. She's previously worked on the Dane County Board of Supervisors and with the Dane County Veterans Service Office. Now, Wisconsin veterans, this time is for you. We want to hear your story and your experiences. What would you like to share with the Veterans Department head? What questions do you have for Secretary Kolar? Call in now, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Secretary Kolar, welcome back to the Morning Show.
Good morning, JC. It's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for being here. Now, let's look at, the Veterans Museum. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs operates the museum that's on the square, and it recently reopened. How has the exhibit changed?
Well, we have taken a solid look at each exhibit and see how it could be updated to better reflect all Wisconsin veterans, to tell the stories of the diverse representation of the citizens of Wisconsin throughout the state. So we're very pleased to tell the stories of more veterans. And I really appreciate you bringing up how it's changed, because we would also like to collect more stories. So veterans online, or people who are listening who know of veterans, we would really like to have their story be a part of our collection so that we can share the story with others.
And can you share some of the stories that are going to be on display or shared as part of the new exhibit?
Well, I'd like to highlight, for example, Wisconsin is a rich history of our tribes who have served in the military. For example, if you know about Mitchell Red Cloud, who Medal of Honor winner in Korea, and his tremendous bravery. So, and the women who have served, the people who of color who have served from Wisconsin, and come on in is what I encourage people to do. We have had virtual events also during the pandemic. We had 73 virtual events, which we will continue. So people are able to participate by learning, whether they are watching on their computer screen or actually coming in and learning more about Wisconsin veterans. This week, we will be having a live event. It will be focusing on music and the Vietnam experience of Wisconsin veterans. That will be occurring Thursday night. On Wednesday night, we have an event at the museum that the son of Gary Powers, so Francis Gary Powers, will be speaking of his father's experience. We have curator conversations. Just last week, we talked about Billy Mitchell, a Wisconsin native, and his influence on military aviation. Next, I just want to emphasize again the multitude of events, live and continuing with virtual. Movie nights. We just had a movie night with a discussion of the movie The Last Measure. So it really engages people literally throughout the country, and we've even had people from as far as Singapore participate in our virtual events. So again, so many stories that are in the Veterans Museum that are shared various ways. Again, we've learned so much during the pandemic that they can be shared virtually with shared discussions and now live events, and just come in and enjoy the displays again that have been refreshed during the pandemic.
We are talking to Mary Kolar right now. She is the Secretary of the State Department of Veterans Affairs, and you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Let's switch gears and look at some of what the department does. Some of it is outreach. You know, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin is again urging her Commitment to Veteran Support and Outreach Act, and that bill aims to help connect veterans with their benefits. Does the state VA face any challenges reaching eligible veterans?
The challenge is when you have veterans, understandably some who had their experience in the military, and then they want to go experience life without the military commitment. But we need to go have that outreach to every single veteran, no matter what their status is, so that they are reminded, because they may or may not have been told during their transition from military service. So when you bring up Tammy Baldwin, Senator Baldwin's CVSO Act, I actually encouraged the National Association of State Directors of Veterans Affairs that Wisconsin belongs to. I initiated the resolution in support of that legislation. And it emphasizes the critical relationship states have, those who have county veteran service officers and tribal veteran service officers, that we are partners, WDVA, the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, working with our partners, our county veteran service officers. That is, the outreach is ongoing. Most particularly for WDVA, working with our CVSO and TVSO partners, is our Veterans Outreach and Recovery Program, reaching out to those veterans most in need. And literally, we have our coordinators have gone out and found veterans who are living under overpasses or living near railroad tracks, just living their lives and realizing, helping those veterans realize it's time to get help, and working with CVSOs, TVSOs, and others, community organizations. Not every veteran is eligible to be get service from the federal VA. So again, those Veterans Outreach and Recovery Program coordinators, working with CVSOs, TVSOs, working with nonprofits, they are able to get veterans the help that they need. If we have time, a story that I have is that recently there was an Army veteran here in Wisconsin that was facing his fourth DUI, and the coordinator working with that person was able to immediately get them residential substance use disorder into a treatment facility. And we helped with case management. And as the veterans neared completion of that program, the staff coordinated with the counselors at the treatment center to ensure that the veteran would continue getting ongoing treatment once he graduated. So the veteran did graduate from that program, continues to work with the VORP staff and other case managers. And recently that VORP, or the veteran texted the case manager and said, just wanted to check in with you and let you know, I think I'm in a happier where I am for a while. Also, I appreciate you and all you've done for me. It's such a bright light in my life to know someone out there cares. And that veteran is now employed. So that veteran was able to turn their life around. And again, it's the collaboration between WDVA employees, state other service providers, nonprofits, and CVSOs and TVSOs.
Now, Secretary Kolar, you know, we've been in a pandemic for the last year and a half, which exacerbated, you know, mental health challenges for many people, but also for veterans. How did the department address those issues among veterans over the last year and a half?
You know, thank you for asking, because when the pandemic first hit and there were so many unknowns, and so it was very difficult. Our coordinators, as I just mentioned, we have 11 throughout the state. We said, you need to stay home. You can work on a computer. You can take phone calls. And, you know, that's not the best way to help people who really need help. So as soon as protocols came out about wearing masks and social distancing and how we could go out and find people but still protect the health of the employee and the veteran they're trying to help, we were back out as soon as possible. But that's what I've been emphasizing. As soon as I could get on the road, I'm seeing as many people as I can, and I know that the VORP coordinators are doing that as well. It is a concern that I have that relationships have deteriorated. We need to rebuild those relationships, work on rebuilding and establishing trust. So the pandemic did have a negative impact, but WDVA employees are working to assist veterans all the ways that we can, and that includes in person. I want to emphasize that for example, our Milwaukee Claims Office also had to have employees working from home. But our Milwaukee Claims Office and our Veterans Benefits Resource Center, employees working from home, we actually had an even higher productivity rate. More veterans were able to be helped. We are back in the office by appointment at our Milwaukee Claims Office. So I encourage veterans to check out the withvets.com and see our Veterans Benefits Resource Center, our links to our Milwaukee Claims Office, and also our Veterans Museum has a website as well, which I encourage people to go there and see the exhibits and virtual events, and that's withvetsmuseum.com.
We are talking to Mary Kolar right now. She's the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, and she's with us on this edition of the State Capitol Report. And we will continue our conversation and take your calls after the break. Of course, you can call in at 800-642-1234. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. In the State Capitol Report, we're talking about the issues that impact veterans in the state. Our guest is Mary Kolar, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, and you can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. If you're a veteran, we want to hear from you, or if you're the spouse or child of a veteran, you can share your experience. Call now, 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. And I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Fran in Caledonia. Hi, Fran.
Hello.
Hi, Fran. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
What did you want to share, Fran?
This is a very fortuitous program because my uncle was a Milwaukee physician who was killed during World War II, Captain Anthony J. Gramling. We've been going through family artifacts, and my sister has his handwritten diary. It was like in a little notebook. And we have just been wondering where it ought to go. I think it went right up very close to the time that he was killed. And I'm wondering if your museum would be the right place to preserve that.
Thank you so much for that call, Fran. That's an amazing story. Secretary Kolar, how can families maybe donate artifacts from their own families to the museum?
Yes. Let's definitely connect. And if you, in the meantime, want to start with that website, the WISVETSmuseum.com. And the curator there should be a link, but WPR has my contact information if you want to follow up with me. But definitely that sounds like a tremendous treasure, which we deeply appreciate the service of your uncle. And we would definitely like to preserve that story and that diary. So let's make sure that we get you connected with the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. And I encourage other listeners, those treasures that you have, I mean, you see it when people find them at resale shops. You know, let us know your instead of having it be cleaned out in a box that people don't realize what's in there, let's go through those boxes and find those stories and talk to the relatives that you may have that can provide more information about the service of the veteran. We deeply appreciate being able to share those stories. So the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, that, you know, every veteran is a story, and we really appreciate, Fran, your call and the opportunity to preserve your uncle's legacy.
Thank you so much for that call, Fran. Now, Secretary Kolar, I want to look back at some of the other issues facing veterans in the state. Let's stick with COVID-19. The Federal Department of Veterans Affairs is now mandating that all their healthcare workers need to get the COVID-19 vaccine. How is the State Department handling this?
So right now, it is up to employees to get the shot. We have regular communications encouraging everyone to get vaccinated against COVID. It is the number one way we can stop the spread. You're probably aware that Wisconsin has 3 skilled nursing facilities, veterans homes located in Chippewa Falls, King, and Union Grove. And we have 2 out of the 3 of the homes have a very high vaccination rate of their staff. All 3 homes have almost 100% vaccination rate of the members, the veterans and eligible family members who live at our homes. But we're constantly encouraging people to get the vaccination. So we do not have a state mandate. I do not anticipate having a mandate. You may have learned of other nursing facilities, medical facilities that are having employees strongly encouraged to get vaccination. And if they are not vaccinated, that there's something like weekly testing. So just because of some 1 or 2 cases that we have had at our home in Union Grove, testing is ongoing. So testing is happening independent of any direction on vaccinations. But that helps us know that though the staff vaccination rate, particularly at Union Grove, is lower than the others, well, at least we know that we have just 1 or 2 cases. We do not have an outbreak at Union Grove.
Would you support a vaccine mandate for state government healthcare workers?
I'm more of a carrot than a stick person, so I just want to emphasize, please get a vaccination. Please get a vaccination for the benefit of all of us, and particularly those most vulnerable. Our residents of our skilled nursing facilities, our veterans homes, can't go anywhere, but staff who can go out and enjoy being out in public, potentially bringing it back, that just terrifies me. So I strongly encourage everyone, and particularly all employees of WDVA, and especially our state veterans homes, to get vaccinated. Let's all work together to protect the most vulnerable.
We are talking to Mary Kolar. She is the secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, Secretary Kolar, in June, four former Wisconsin Department of Veterans Services employees spoke to the Capital Times about their experiences with the department. They said they felt micromanaged, marginalized, and sometimes condescended while they were employed. Have you seen this reporting? And how are you working to make the department more welcoming and equitable?
Well, thank you for asking about that. If you saw the article, you saw that I did acknowledge that's that we have those four people who felt the way that they felt, and it's very discouraging. I want everyone to feel welcome and respected and enjoy being an employee of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. But please know that we have things at the department. For example, our Cultivating Culture Committee, its members tasked with showing appreciation for employee accomplishments, both big and small, and recognizing that the diversity that we have in our department. So the Cultivating Culture Committee works to help employees to feel comfortable and safe, sharing input about the workplace. That committee has been instrumental in helping us develop our equity and inclusion plan and its goals of attracting a more diverse applicant pool. So again, we're just working on, I'd say it's an everyday mission to ensure that we do have a safe and equitable and inclusive workplace.
Now, Secretary Kolar, we have about a minute left. With that in mind, what are some of your future goals for the department as you serve in the role of secretary?
Well, when you talk about outreach, that's why I really welcome on getting back on the road. Just last Friday, I was with the Tribal Veteran Service Officers. We met in Mole Lake, and just the one-on-one conversations to be able to hear directly from veterans, and in this case, the Tribal Veteran Service Officers. Recently, I met with the Visually Impaired Veterans of America. So it's just getting out there, reestablishing those relationships. Also, I'm the chair of the Community Engagement Committee for the Governor's Equity and Inclusion Advisory Council, and I'm traveling the state, different people. We're sharing our stories, but also working to increase our engagement throughout the state, again, with a wide variety of people representing the diversity that Wisconsin is. And it's been absolutely fantastic to learn so much more about Wisconsin and our tremendous state and how diverse we are.
Secretary Kolar, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. It's great to be with you, JC.
Mary Kolar is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. She joined us to talk about the challenge facing veterans in the state and how the DVA is exploring new initiatives to help. Just ahead, the outgoing Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association joins us to talk about his role in the organization and the future of high school sports. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.